Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you let nothing hold us back. We're gonna polish up our ass now. And if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let nothing stand in your way. I want your good.
nothing but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They all speak words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And then there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we'll send something else. We want all. Is telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here.
What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
Yes, it is Thursday nights. Once again, we're with the man himself, Neo Nation Conversations with Jaquan Diaz. And his special guest today he have, which is Mr. Dietrich McCoy, Puntahaka Brothers Ice Cream Factory. Let's bring on Mr. Diaz. Give him a nice hand.
Thank you. Appreciate that. How's everybody? I know I haven't been here in a little while. I'm happy to be back. And like the brother said, we have a special guest, Mr. Dietrich McCoy. He has a great story to him. We're going to allow him to tell his story because it's a very strong story. And the brother has directly impacted the mass incarceration system by employing brothers who were previously incarcerated. So I would like to give him the floor and let the brother tell him a little bit about himself, Mr. Dietrich McCoy.
Thanks, man. Glad to be on.
Welcome. You're welcomed. You're welcomed in a place where it's definitely. Your work is definitely honored here. You're in a place where I worked alongside Just Leadership United States of America, and I also worked alongside Jordan Lexton, who founded Drive Change, Food Trucks for Social Justice. So I was definitely alongside her using the food truck platform to employ people who were previously incarcerated as well. So your story, we hope you'll add to our fire here on Neo Nation's Weekly Conversations with Jaquan Diaz, and we welcome you, and we thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Dietrich. A lot of what you were saying was kind of given to me and such, so been working at Tahawker Brothers for about 10 years now, going on. And, well, it's a little bit about 8 years or so. But basically, Tahawker Brothers, my dad was, basically when my dad was younger, his name was Tahawker. When he was younger, he had a mentor named Sean Smeaton. And they were basically like, there was a group of guys as well. They were like they would start up little mini businesses, like grass cleaning businesses and stuff like that, like newspapers, how they begin out their relationship. And then over time, you know, I come along, you know, been born, and they end up losing contact. So then, you know, my dad, you know, was going through things, trying to raise me and stuff like that. You know, the community that we live in, everything that comes with it. And he ended up passing away when I was around six. And then, yeah. And then after that, Sean actually started a business. He had already started a kind of a business called Sylvian Beach. Mm-hmm. And it's basically about, you know, it's drug addicts and, you know, convicts and things like that. It's kind of like a group home, but different because, you know, they would live in the building, but they also had a business downstairs. They created a kind of a sandwich shop.
Right.
And it was just creating sandwiches. And they also had ice cream. And then
Where was this happening at? This was in what state, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, here in Baltimore. Sorry,
I knew it. You know, I actually researched your business as prior, like years ago, about what you guys did as far as like creating a group home or like a halfway house, and basically everybody who was like tenanted there, the bottom was a business where they basically mm-hmm. were tenants and they were employed at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Baltimore. Nice.
Yeah, it was called Sylvian Beach. It was based after the Lancey Street Foundation. They kind of did something like that. And so after that, if my dad passed away, you know, the older kind of younger group kind of came in, and then I came in, and then at this point, you know, we were all focused on ice cream.
Right.
So after that, we ended up doing a Kickstarter campaign to raise money for the ice cream truck.
Right.
It's on YouTube if you ever want to check it out. It's called A Dream Preferred. We have raised like over $30,000, something like that. That's how we end up making the ice cream truck. And the ice cream truck is it's like our trademark, you know, here in the city. People see the big pink truck. They start taking pictures of it. We mostly use it for catering, so people will have it like at their weddings and birthday parties. And it feels great when you're, you know, driving to people's homes,
yeah.
You know, kind of kicking it with them, giving them ice cream. They're so happy. Kids be funny. Just be great.
Yeah, that's good vibes. I like that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just such a long history, you know. To be honest, it started before I was even born. Like I said, my dad was young, so I could really go on forever. But you know, just to get up the times a bit. So right now I do sales and marketing, and you know, we got six owners here at Tahawker Brothers. We're employed on. And basically what that means is we split the profits, you know, split the responsibility. I mean, split the profits and profit sharing checks, you know. We also created, like, committees within the company so that, you know, the employees that aren't owners, because we're like about 30 employees in total, including us six owners. And so they get a chance to be a part of the flavor committee where they can bring up ideas, bring out new flavors. And they can, you know, we got flavor committee, we got an education committee, we have a social justice committee, team bonding committee, quality control. And then we also give them a clear path to how they can become owners of the company as well.
Wow, that's a great opportunity, and that's a very powerful story. And I just want to say, you being able to continue your father's legacy, that's very powerful, because a lot of what I talk about on this show is passing on a legacy that, you know, I build in my lifetime to my child. So that's what it's about sometimes and all the time at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, definitely. And that's, it's kind of can keep going for me. You know, I want to pass this down to my daughter. And I have another daughter on the way. So it'll be great, you know, and then it could go down for them. And, you know, that's why one of my main focus outside of the Hawker Brothers is trying to work on, you know, I don't like the term of it, but what it's called is like a business consultant. But I want to be a lot different. You know, I have a social mission behind me. But basically, I want to help people, you know, make websites. I would make the website, help them, you know, with social posts and just, you know, just trying to help other people, you know, get their things going. Because I think that anytime anybody asks me when I'm just out serving ice cream, because you may see me, you know, here in Baltimore. You can look at our Instagram right now at TheHawkerBrothers.com. You know, I was just serving ice cream in the neighborhood for free, giving samples. But there was a store that had our ice cream in there, too. So it was a great promotion. If you wanted more, you can go in the store. But I forgot what I was going after that.
So I like that. In regards to expanding, I just wanted to note that what you're doing is very important, and because, you know, I have a lot of business ideas, and I've been narrowing them down, and I know I built a business plan some time ago and a marketing plan before, but unfortunately, I was incarcerated for some time, and I've been out and just been studying relevant times and information again. But it would be good to get a mentor to kind of, like, sharpen my idea and actually put it into, like into action. So I have, like, the food handlers, the mobile vendors license. So I myself at one point went to Florida and started a food truck business and was in an organization named The Five Venture where I pitched for money for the food truck. But unfortunately, I didn't secure all my ends far as the company because I was young and I just came across all the money so fast. And, you know, my own employees, they had a lot of – I didn't secure the trucks and a lot of my stuff. So they kind of, like, ran off with, like, my trucks and stuff like that. So I would have to go through a legal battle. And it was unfortunate because it was, like, the height of, like, my career far as outside of just – working for, like, criminal justice reform, et cetera, but because I had a chance to actually control the direction of my own platform. So
right.
It was unfortunate with that way. But.
No, man, I appreciate you sharing that with me because there's a lot of people that I'm coming across that just need that extra hand, you know. And I want to provide it, you know, at a extremely reasonable cost, because it's something that I really want to do. And I want to do it by the numbers. So if I plan my plan right altogether, I'll be great, you know. But, you know, I could help people with, you know, just like you said, business plans. I could help people start up. I have helped a couple people get some funds, raise some funds. But I'm ready to, you know, explode right now. You know, like I said, I want to do it official for myself. So I'm putting it out there, ready to put it out there to the world, especially to my city here in Baltimore. And I just want to help, you know, just give that extra hand, the extra, oh, man, I just got off work. I got like 20 emails, you know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, time, you don't really want to miss stuff, you know, opportunities, because somebody else could come by. So I just want to be that person to say, hey, I got you. You know, I got to answer those emails real quick. I'm pretty good on my emails. So even more than that, you know, but that's just something basic that I can help somebody with.
Right. Nah, that's important, because a lot of those skills, like, I've been on the other end. So I've been in prison. And one thing, when I was in the state prison, I'm really good with, like, who to write to. So the jail knew that. So I had arrived in a state prison. This is when I was in Franklin Correctional Facility. And I put into, everybody has the right to basically create their own group. So you had the Rastafarians, you had the Muslims, you had the Christians, you had all types of different groups. So I created a group that focused on those skills, like educating them, reading and writing, resume building, et cetera. So out of the mass population, I had to reach out to every denomination, including gangs. So religion plus social groups, to tell them that, like, basically I had a place where it's like I had to, like, I stored a closet with food, like snacks, mm-hmm. clothes, I clothed them, and then I educated them. Half the violence was perpetuated because of miseducation. So this is what led them to Ammon setting me out the prison, meaning I was considered a political risk, and they actually locked me in solitary confinement for this, because the violence in the prison started to go down. Everybody was bent on going in that room because they were studying their cases and they were educating themselves. Some people couldn't write to their own daughters, and this is why they mad. He's running around, mm-hmm. he was violent because he couldn't write his kid. He can't write back to his wife, nothing. He got to ask All right. somebody else to read his letters. This is what they wanted to continue to perpetuate. So, and like the finale of it, when I say they, the administration came to me and they said, how do you stop you? Like, I never seen you lie. I don't see you deceive the people. Like, how to stop you? How to stop your influence? I said, there's only one way to stop my influence. And he said, well, I said, you got to lock me away. Like, you got to take me away from everybody else, or I'm going to keep working. And the guy looked me in the eyes and he said, I appreciate your honesty. And they locked me in solitary confinement for 9 months. So I could have got 3 years in the box plus a new charge, because they basically try to say I had so much influence in the prison that I could change the tide of the direction that it goes in. So they basically try to take education as an act of violence, and then I had to, like, go through hearings and all of that. And basically one of them was honest and basically said, listen, my tickets, or everything that runs my jail, is generated by the chaos that happens in it. So if you stop in the chaos and educating these people, I don't get money off my tickets. Everything else that, like, anticipating violence to happen, they have a budget around. So they said, like, respectfully, it's not that you're doing something wrong, but you're doing something wrong. So that's why, like I said, this is a circle where your work and your father's work is definitely appreciated, because being on the other end, to come out of all of that and come into a circle where somebody's taking the time to either hold your hand and teach you something, that goes a long way to actually changing our environment and the rest of the world.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. I wasn't never arrested, but, you know, long time ago, like I said, my dad passed away early, so there's only a percentage of things I can remember naturally that he told me, but he told me that there were many books not allowed in jail. Like, they didn't, you know, put them in a library on purpose. So it's very similar, you know, to, of course, when they didn't want us to read it up. It's like, you know, I do see where you're coming from with that, and I do see the even deeper picture that, you know, just like you said, they want to stop by all means, you know. And if you're one of the people that's doing good, of course they want to stop you. We've seen that with all of our leaders. So that's why, you know, it does suck. You know, it does be like, ah, dang, do I really do good? Somebody may try to come get me. But at the same time, it's like, I believe, like, you know, I'm a really spiritual guy, but I'm not so much religious. But I believe, like, even the simplest things, like if I pick up a piece of paper, throw it in the trash, or recycle it, so probably down the line, my great grandkids may somehow benefit from that. You know what I mean? Like, I believe certain things, like when people say, "Oh, everything's meant to be" or "happened for a reason," I believe in that to, you know, 100 degrees. So I just have faith, you know. That's why, like I said, you know, my main purpose now is, now that I'm just coming to this realization of how good I've been protected and, you know, kind of nurtured for something, I feel like, you know, and then, you know, recently I've just been thinking, you know, and there's always stuff that I've been wanting to do my whole life. And I wanted to start business since I was younger. But, you know, God was just talking to me because I always be thinking about the big, big things that I always want to do, like build houses, low income, you know, nice houses, things like that, apartments, you know, wrecks, all this other stuff. And then I think I got awakened. And I was told, you know, I got tools in my mind that I can use for right now. So, you know, that's my main goal right now, is to, you know, try to use my brain to help other people do their thing. And that's just, like, my mission right now, just trying to do that.
Yeah, I really... go ahead, big brother.
Yeah, I just want to say that we have our brother Shalit Reed with us as well from the Black Business Billionaires Network Club on as well. We can bring him in, and, you know, y'all can join the conversation as well. Brother Shalit, we're going to bring him in, give him a nice little hand. All right, here, come on, people. Wake up.
Yeah.
Yo, never
y'all,
man. Like, this
doesn't. Honestly speaking, first of all, I want to say what's up to Big Juan. How you doing? Thank you,
how
Dr.
You
Robinson,
doing,
man. Dr. Winborn, Mr. Hill, everybody from the staff, Neo Nation community, man. I want to thank all the listeners that are tuning in right now, man, to the segment. Brother, I forgot your name. Mr. McCoy, is it? Dietrich McCoy. I would like to refer to you as Mr. McCoy, man, because you definitely are a man worthy of respect and man worthy of honor, man. In terms of,
appreciate that.
Yo, bro, I'm not gonna lie, man, and everybody that's listening, I just want everybody to understand the most important thing that's taking place with what you're saying, Mr. McCoy, and that's the process, which is one, and the understanding and development of community development, empowerment is very, 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 and financial literacy is very, very important in our family institutions and our community. But I just want to thank you. I just was like, I just actually made a phone call to somebody to tell him. I said, yo, you got to tune into this show, bro, because this brother right here, Mr. McCoy, is put it like this. You're not the only one. But what's happening is that you have contributed to the better, you have brought out the greatness of yourself to contribute to the better half of humanity, bro. And I really, really, really commend you. And I'm going to spread the word. I really, really admire. Yo, listen, I wouldn't be here had it not been for someone to pay forward. And this is what it is. It's a concept of charity towards paying forward to help other people. And so you got Dr. Robertson, who has paid forward for brothers like myself to have the opportunity. And so it is my obligation to also do the same for others. And then it makes me feel good to actually hear and see you as an example of a person who pays forward, who doesn't look down or frown upon those who are outcasts of society, but who looks at individuals on an equal term of humanity and tries to empower and instill education and try to help to develop skills so that individuals could provide a way for themselves and others and members in the community to help to build towards a better future. And so I just want to thank you. If it's possible, and I think I have your information, I would like to, I'm just going to just sit back and listen, but I just want to have the opportunity to if you provide the information for brothers and productive people to contact you just for a brief interview and ways that they can contribute to helping you network and get jobs and things of that nature. So that's all I just want to say. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, man.
I really appreciate you.
Well, Talik, he'll be on tomorrow. Yeah. The Black Business.
Yeah, I got it.
The Black Business.
Yeah.
And you're going to be interviewing him tomorrow as well. So you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You got part one and part two. So you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So you'll be in part two as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate that.
Before we go too far, there was something the brother said last that I don't force spirituality on no person. Everybody knows what this show's about. But all praise is due to the highest power of the universe. So I always try to give praise to the one who created us all, our creator and father in heaven. Mm-hmm. And you was mentioning that you wanted to do more. Like, you know, like if you look at history and the prophets, this is a series that I really want to create for the viewers here, because we are the stepping stones of the prophet before us. We're actually following behind brothers who paved the way for actually taking what you own and giving it back to the rest of the world. So the thing that we coin mostly here is when Jesus Christ, peace to him, said to another man, whose face is on this coin? And the man said, it's Caesar. And this is when they was asking him for a tax collection. And he told the man, give back onto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give back onto God what belongs to God. So no matter what we amount in this world, yes, we have a worldly tie to it to an extent, but it's nothing if you can't amount any riches in heaven. So behind all of our actions is intention, and every action is driven by your intention. So if I intend to do good behind what I do, all it's going to do is reciprocate more good. But if I intend an ulterior motive behind it, it might even give the illusion of good, but your award is nothing because your intention is not to create good. So if you look at history, like other great minds, like Aristotle and many others, there was something like during their work that told them they wanted more. Like no matter what you build, if it doesn't have a significance for humanity, to the earth, to the creatures of it, it's like it doesn't fulfill a void in your heart. Like, it's like the spirit and joy has to fill behind your action. Seeing someone happy, like you said it earlier, when you go to the place and you know you get to vibe out with the people and you get to see the joy, that's way more than the money that you're receiving from the job, because you get a return that is bigger than that. And, you know, I was telling my significant other the other day, it's funny how, like, when people are at the ends of their life, that the smallest things become important. How much good did you do? Maybe a bee or a butterfly you ain't noticed before, or a plant and how beautiful it looks. All those small things and who's there for you at that time, what you left behind, all of those things come into focus. Never your cars, what's going to happen to your house. None of that comes, nothing. How much money, the women, none of that will ever be the deciding factor at the very end, nor at the very beginning of our lifetime. So, I get, like, again, the spirit, like you said that, it made me like you more. It made me understand your story more. And now I don't have nothing against those who don't give credit back where credit is due, because that's between you and the manufacturer and creator of us all. So I'm not here to judge nobody, but I feel like I gained a deeper connection with you, knowing that you are somebody who has acknowledged that everything you touched and the good that you've done is not only by your own hand, but that the Creator has sheltered you and made things like accessible for you. I thank you for that, and I hope God continues to bless your endeavors after this point.
Yeah, man, you hit it right there. That's word for word, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, because
you know,
that's
like
what's happening right now. See, God, God, the Creator, He got His own warriors that He likes them to fight in His own different ways. So
right.
You might not see that my calling and your calling and the Reverend's calling and Dr. Winsborne calling and all of us here at the Neo Nation and you brothers at the Tahaka Company is we might be all in one big fight against, you know, like the earth is alive. What everybody has to understand is we come from the earth. You, every piece of membrane from your body besides your soul originated on this planet. So from the iron to the zinc to the calcium and everything in your body, from dust you are to dust you return. So if you came from a living organism as a living organism, how are we not going to acknowledge the earth as a living organism? It's alive. Now, it being alive, if you look at how beautiful the earth is, you know it wasn't created by our own hand, because no building or nothing man creates could look like the planet earth. Impossible.
Nope.
So the Creator, man, hand-factored the earth. He made this to as beautiful as He made it. And we're just custodians here. We don't own it at all. We're custodians over the planet. That was the privilege that was given to us as the custodians over the planet. The unfortunate thing is our own hand has destroyed the planet in many different ways. And if we don't see that there's a cause and effect, everything spins in the universe. And that's the Creator showing us that everything runs on a cycle. What you put out must come back. So the good that we all do and reciprocate in the world is like interwoven in one net. And we don't see that our actions are all interconnected towards the way the earth spins and everything that's happening and rupturing and the volcanoes and the tornadoes. Everything is a cause and effect. So I feel like we're on the fight to try to like create a balance. It has to be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the government and the world powers is like running the earth is like you guys are not giving back the praise to who it rightfully belongs to. And that's why I've been taking a lot of time to try to neutralize the perspective of how we all individually approach the Creator. Because if this 4.5, if this over, there's so many churches in America that you can house one homeless person in each one, and you can end homelessness tomorrow. But the fact that a lot of people are separated on perspectives or doctrine or mechanics to religion or things that were lost in history and bias and racism and all of these other barriers that prevent the spirit. Like I was talking to the Reverend the other day, there's things that choke the spirit. Between the churches, the mosques, the synagogues, our households, and anybody who acknowledges the power of the higher power, there's supposed to be an interconnected stream of energy moving between us all. The thing is, the heart is the receptacle where the energy moves through, the heart. But since there's so much placidity and being biased, you could sit in a church or a mosque or wherever you're at, and you're worrying about what this person is doing. And those people across the street in that church, they Baptist, so we need to hope we can't work with them. And they Catholic over there, so not going to deal. See, all of that chokes the spirit. How can we sit there and say we worship one sole creator of the universe, so we can't work together to put back nothing in humanity? So who's held into a higher position? Somebody who in the eyesight of the creator. So that means it's not for none of us to answer. But somebody who, yeah, I may be tied to a religious community and may have put money in a donation pot and said that's me giving back, or somebody who took his time, built something, and went out there and directly impacted lives. So you could, in the eyesight of the creator, one is saying that person is doing nothing because he's not with us in the church. And then a person over there is saying, but why would I be in the church when you guys are not directly impacting nothing? So you see these things that happen. I want to kind of like neutralize the perspectives on a lot of that. So humanity, you see when George Floyd died, rest his soul, how humanity came together. It, for me, that was just the leadership. I feel like leadership could have did more to try to neutralize a lot of barriers at that point if they had, like, a great plan. But that told me that the spirit of man is restless. Blessed be the meek, for the meek shall inherit the earth. The tired are one day going to stop being tired, and it's going to be a mass awakening. So I believe, as it says in the book of Joel, that I will pour my soul upon every flesh, and the kids will dream dreams, and they will prophesy. I believe in that because I believe this is the time, since the prophets are sealed and we don't have the prophets no more. It's almost like the spirit, like he chooses select people from around the earth and inspires them with something. And there's a bigger picture to it. We just can't fully see it yet because it's outside of our scope of our finite knowledge. But it's amazing to me because I know it's actually happening. So part of me is I look from the past on to the future. So we are the future. So seeing your work and hearing what you're doing, it gives me inspiration because I know it's happening. It's happening no matter how gloom the earth looks and how bad it looks. The reason why it's still standing is because the people like you. It's because you were taken from your own, and instead of being greedy, you're giving back to humanity. And that's what makes humans the pinnacle of creation, because you are a being that does good because you choose to do good, not because you have to. You could be great. Right. You can. It's your right. If the creator has given you the power of choice. But the fact that you choose to do good with what you have amounted is what makes the angels lower their wings and praise to man. Because it's astounding to them. Like, how could this human have this dangled in front of his face and he could take this and just feed his own stomach? Why he gave to the other person? Why did he give he didn't create mass incarceration. Why did he go out and try to put an end to it or impact it in some kind of way? Why? These are the things that, like, I believe channel over long after we die and, like, channel into good deeds. And, yeah, the ultimate reward is to be paid back after we leave this plane, you know, and tell your story in heaven alongside all of us. If we could get there and have this story again, then we really won.
Are you, Daquan, do you want to open, you got a full house. You want to open up some mics as well? Get some of the audience response now.
Let's open some mics. Let's let some people ask some questions.
Give everybody a little recap here. We're on with Mr. Dietrich McCoy, mm-hmm. who has Tahaka Brothers. His father started many, many years ago, 20-plus some years ago. And it was a halfway house where they provided restaurant and ice cream. And now Mr. Dietrich McCoy has took it to another level, getting young men off the street, working at Tahaka Brothers Ice Cream Factory. And he's continued to do the work that his father did, where people can have means of income, and he also put them in business as well. So we're on with Mr. Dietrich McCoy and Mr. Daquan Diaz. As everybody knows, he's the host, and we're going to open up. 718-350. Your mic is open.
Good evening, brothers. How are you all this evening?
Evening. I was gonna tell him to put you in next, and it just told you, like, I'm just laughing.
My brother. Listen, I came in late listening, but what I've heard always from brother Daquan and brother Robinson, who has told me before about this program, that you are the ice cream company and so on. That's absolutely. I don't even have a word for it. But hopefully whatever we can do to promote and push that situation, sure that we will be able to. Brother Daquan, you keep going, man. You keep going.
Thanks.
I got you. You keep going.
Thank you, brother.
And, I love all y'all. But that's it. I'm listening. I'm just listening. I have nothing more to say. I can't find anything.
Thank
else
you, big brother. The big bro, okay. Ron, is a big part of my spiritual journey, too. He always gives me advice. So he always encourages me to stay in spirit. So I will talk one way, but once you guys, like, mention the higher power, my spirit is just different. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah, I'm like that too, man.
Yeah. I get
great.
I get
great. So we're
going
to open up
six.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, big brother.
Okay, we've opened up 609-957. 609-957. Your mic is open.
All right, brothers. Let's get it together. Let's get it together. Okay, this is Greg Hall. And let me just say, I came in kind of late. But basically, the theme of working together is definitely part of the solution. All right, when you talk about money, all right, it's very interesting because a lot of people get it a little wrong. In other words, the Bible does say that money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. But the same Bible in Ecclesiastes 10 and 19 says that money answers all things. So we need to find a middle ground balance in terms of, okay, how do we deal with those two concepts? Yes, the love, not the use, not the possession, because you can have money and do good things, as apparently this particular ice cream company is doing. You know what I'm saying? So we just need to work together and let's take it to the next level. I mean, obviously, something like ice cream is, unless you're going to have factories in other places, you have a little problem in terms of, well, how do you, let's say, for example, I'm in New York and your outfit is in Connecticut. If I wanted to support, it would be a problem getting the product to me. But if you had factories all over the place, then
you
could obviously
make that happen. But it's all about working together. And some people, as quiet as it's kept, have some ideas about making that happen. And without someone said it's a poor driver that can't toot his own horn. I have ideas. Okay, I have a lot of ideas. And for the brothers who may be listening in terms of the ice cream business, I'm one of the co-hosts of this Neo Nation organization. I have my show on Saturdays, all right? Every night from 7 to 9, there's a different host, a different show. My show, which is called Let's Get It Together and Reap More, comes on Saturdays. I try to be a supporter of anything that can help. People are going to be helped. You got my support. So my name is Greg Hall, and I'm the host of the Saturday night show, which is called Let's Get It Together and Reap More. And anything that I could do to support you, to expand what you're doing, you have my support, you know, because those who know me that know that I do not just talk the talk, but I try to walk the walk and put my money where my mouth is. So check me out on Saturdays, they said the show is called Let's Get Together and Read More. I have some ideas. That's where my gift lies in terms of creative thoughts, ideas, and plans, and ways of expanding what we're doing, as well as, you know, this whole self-reparations and job creation and the whole nine yards. That's where my heart is headed at. All right, didn't mean to take up this much time. Thank you. Check me out on Saturday.
He wanted to tell you, Mr. Gregory Hall, of Let's Get Together and Reap More Now, Saturday night show, great show. Brother Dietrich, you got to get on Saturday night and listen to his show. He got a lot of financial programs. But Mr. Dietrich, you want to tell him how you ship ice cream out to other states.
Yeah, we are doing out of state right now. But he kind of took the words out of my mouth, because all I was going to say is, even though, you know, we're in different states, of course, there's a lot of ways we can all help. And that's part of my thing, too. Like, I think, you know, I want to help people in Baltimore work out, but if I'm online, I can also help out people in Connecticut or wherever they may be, you know, we can send each other information, or, like I said, out of state shipping, we actually send products, actually getting on your show, trying to put that on my story. Oh, going on the Saturday.
Yeah, you got to stay in the mic. We're losing you there for a minute.
Yeah, because I can hardly hear half of what you're saying.
So you're saying that you can ship ice cream out to other states? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Can you hear me good now?
Get a little more into the mic.
Yeah. We ship out of state. Got an inquiry on our website. It's pretty simple. Just put on your address where you wanted to go. We only really ship on the East Coast, though, right now. So we can get in 2-day shipping.
Well, I'll say this, brother. You got my address. Definitely ship me some of that ice cream. I heard from some brothers in Baltimore and some sisters that I know in Baltimore. See, I'm checking you out, brother. So the ice cream is off the hook. Watch out, Ben and Jerry's. Watch out, Bristol. Watch out, the Häagen-Dazs. They got some real good ice cream, so y'all better get hit. Y'all better get hip to Tahaka Brothers. They coming. For you.
Yeah,
okay,
a
let
lot
me ask you something. Okay,
do you
would you be shipping to? I'm in the state of Georgia at the moment. Do you go that far south?
Yeah, because that's not that bad, because it's still on the kind of the eastern part here. So up and down that east coast, we can get it into the shipping.
I wanted to say that the brother commemorated your work with a scripture, and by saying that we need to do the work and work together. And yes, the same Bible at one point says money is the root of all evil. And I like how you said you got to put it in perspective, because the verse is not saying money. Like me having a dollar, or me having $100, or having $200. But it's clear when he says the root and the creator when the Creator puts something, there's layers of knowledge behind a single scripture. So on first level is how you use money. If I use money and I entertained all my vices, that could mean money was the root of all the evil. But my vice and my lust and my spending habits and my insatiable need to have what I want at that moment is the root of the evil, not the money. So it's not blaming the money in this verse on that level. It's the stranglehold of money that is the root of all evil. That is what it's talking about. It's not referring to us on a common level. It's throwing a direct shot at the powers to be that are controlling the monopoly and where the money is going. You understand? When a community could target like the black race or a minority and take that minority, exploit them, make money off them, make generational wealth for themselves because they put a stranglehold on education, the wealth, and everything else and created a mechanism for control.
Yep.
That and the root of it is what? Wealth. And they want more of it. They want more control and land over under countries.
And that's why my plan is to take, I'm sorry, my bad man. But that's why my thing is to try to take it back, you know.
Yes.
And like when he was saying, you know, like how I was saying, you know, this is not something that I've been feeling my whole life. Like I've been recently just deepening in deep thoughts and just thinking about, you know, God always kept me good, you know. Here in Baltimore, of course, you probably hear stuff, but it's even crazier than you think. You know, some stuff like broad day shots is kind of normal to us here. So it's just like my family, of course, many people in my family either died to using drugs or died to selling drugs.
Right.
And so, you know, me.
Condolences, brother.
And for me, it's just like, you know, my mother actually had me at 13. So I have to look at certain things so much differently when I hear about abortion or any other thing like that, because it's just like, man, God really had me for so long. And it's not millions of dollars, but it's millions of blessings, you know, millions mm-hmm. of saviors, millions of shots didn't hit me. You know what I mean? Like when my dad got shot, he actually was in the court behind me. Shots could have easily came through the way. And even when other people who got shot in the neighborhood, you know, and I've never been in no direct beef with anyone as far as trying to come kill me. You know, the Harker brothers was kind of there for me, you know, and it's just like, you know, recently I just been thinking like, man, I've really been, you know, protected in the city. This is Baltimore, you know, and it's not any other city like this. People always say it's so small, but Baltimore is actually one of the biggest cities. It's like top 10. But so there's tons of danger here. And it's just like, you know, I lived here. I got an opportunity to go to school, do wrestling. So, you know, just been coming home. You know, I had a daughter and stuff like that. And it's just been like, man, life has been, you know, even when I want to complain about certain stuff. So like even when I think about my mother now, I talk to her because I also got a little brother and little sister. I'll keep telling them now. It's just like, you will never know until you raise your own child. It's hard. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not Brenda's baby, but I'm Brenda's grandbaby. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, we're missing that stage. My great-grandmother ended up taking care of all of us. And so, you know, I've just been thinking like, man, all this stuff been given to me. And, you know, I've just been blessed beyond measures. You know, I'm not rolling in the fancy car. You know, I got the Honda. You know, I don't really have my own place yet, so living with my girl and stuff like that, but we're bonding and we're getting things done, and life is, you know, worth a lot to me. and people love me through Tahaka Brothers. They love our ice cream. If it wasn't for the community, we would have been done. You know what I mean? Because at Tahaka Brothers, we were mostly, before the pandemic, we were mostly selling at restaurants. And so they would buy the bigger containers, which was 2.5 gallons, and they would re-scoop and sell like that. And, of course, when the pandemic hit, that completely wiped out, of course, so we was on a breaking edge. But the community really came out because we started doing home deliveries. And, man, they saved us. And they also were the grocery stores was doing real well, too. You know, people going out to grocery stores, buying it by carts, taking pictures of it. You know, for me, it's like I really feel as though people, like, wrote, keep Tahaka Brothers alive, you know what I mean, like a note on a refrigerator, because that's how serious it was. Like, they would send us, share us, Snapchats, their whole freezer, top shelf, full of Tahaka Brothers, you know what I mean? So, and after that, you know, that really got me thinking, like, man, all the stuff they say about Baltimore, but they saved our company. You know, and it's just like that is kind of like coming from an outer space, right? Because you can't control nobody. So it's like you can market, you can do what you got to do, you can make the best product. But people coming out in tons, it's just general support, you know, really, that's real support from the community. So it's just like after going through that, now that we're here, now that we're still, you know, alive, still breathing, still producing ice cream. Now I really came to really wanting to do something even more on my own. So that's where I just came to the conclusion of what I got to do. You know, like I was saying before, I was just awoken, like, man, I got all these big dreams. I can't do none of it, but I got some skills in my mind that I could use to help people. You know what I mean? I can help them get to right connections. Where I can just help them just with posts, you know, and stuff like that. And so, I spoke with Dr. Ron, and then it just was like, man, it was kind of perfect timing because it all just was coming together at once. You know, it just hit me hard. Then I really just wanted to dive in, really make it official, you know, do what I want to do for other people, for myself, because technically I will be opening up a business, but it's a business with a social mission. Now, I want to hire people for my business, too. I want to have, you know, people who like me, who got skills, and maybe they just want to do some little part-time work. I say, hey, I'm helping a couple people businesses right now. You could be an employee under my business. You can help them. I can help them. You know what I mean? It just keeps going forever. So, yeah, man, I just had to get that up because it just hit me all at once. You know, I can't say that I was always focused on it. You know, my main focus was, you know, of course, trying to, you know, make sure my daughter good and my girlfriend. You know, that's how they keep us locked down. You know, they keep us sucked in with trying to make sure the bill's good. You know, don't even worry about someone else's situation. If you got something going on and, you know, we just get stuck in that situation. And a lot of us who want to start a business, we all have stories that we can, you know, base our business off of, especially from the Black community. I mean, it's just everybody come from, especially from here where I'm from, pretty much almost everybody has a whole lot of troubles that they could, you know, really speak on and try to fight. You know, if it's not drugs, if it's not this, if it's not that, we all got one thing in common, which is a controller, that we will try to keep control of the neighborhoods, stuff like that. But yeah, man, I just think that I don't know what the end goal is, right? You know, I'm not looking to, you know, change the world in one day, but I just know, like, if I could at least, if I go tomorrow or if I, you know, go, I want to at least have helped a lot of people. You know, even if it's not a lot of people, maybe it's some people, but I significantly helped them. You know, however it's going to give them, that's the thing, you know, I got trust that once I get this website up, God's just going to make it happen. The people are going to come to me, and I just got to show up. You know what I mean? Just like the rest of my life, God just been giving it to me. I hate to say the word giving it to me because it sounds so like silver spoon-ish kind of feel, but, you know, that's honestly the truth. You know, I just believe that, you know, now that I'm awakened, that, you know, I've been saved. You know, I made it through 26 in Baltimore City. So I just feel like, man, now is the time to, and you know, you can be doing stuff for good and you don't even know what you're doing. You know, for so long, you just feel like this is just natural. This is just life. You don't even realize.
Yeah, you definitely
work
been blessed.
That you're doing.
Definitely been blessed with a mercy from God. And at the same time, that mercy comes with a two-edged sword. You know what I mean? When you've been blessed like that, try it. When you say silver spooning, I understand where you're coming from. But at the same token, nothing comes without a price when it comes to the Creator. Nothing. So he'll give
right.
you something out of his mercy. But what you do with it is definitely you held accountable. So you could be get spoon-fed everything in your whole lifetime and give nothing back. So if you do that and then you pass over and you meet him at the altar, what's the trade-off? What did you trade with the wealth that the Creator gave you? So
right.
I feel like your trade back and your give back and whatever knowledge that you've accumulated in your fields that you could give back is priceless because it's yours. When you learn something and you give it to the world, the only one who could reward you back is the Creator. If you don't have the motive to please him, then it's just void. It's like it's void. Like
yep.
you don't want to see your family happy and the people around you happy. That's why people could build these big companies and reach the highest, and they got this big company with 100 floor, and he's the CEO, and he sits down in his chair, and he looks at the whole city and feels nothing. Just empty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? Why did I build all of that? Like, nothing I do, nothing I buy satisfies this missing void inside me. And it's a blessing that you experience what I'm going to call an awakening. So the Creator inspires certain people. You can move almost like unconsciously. And this is, you're unconscious, but the Creator is using drive to drive you where he wants you to be, but you just unconsciously get in there, if it makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, so now that you're there.
That's exactly what I feel
like
my life is.
Right, it's like one, if you look back at it, and you really just sit back and look at your life, nothing happened by accident. One event was for you to learn something, to either counteract or do another event better. Everything prepared you for something else. So it's like no matter which way you turn, it's all written. It's just the awesome power and magnitude of the one that made us all. And you can see it in the signs, and you know, the Creator speaks to you. I was walking with my spouse today, and somebody had gave us food when we had bought from the store. He said a blessing on our food when we took it. So as soon as we walk out, a lady walks up to us and tells us God bless and everything, gives us a flyer. I said, do you see the connection from one prayer? You start the morning with a prayer. Went to the store, somebody gave you a blessing. Lady gave you a blessing. I walked like a little further, and like the sun brightened more. I'm like, and I acknowledge that. I said, you feel the sun, you feel the breeze, because I always try to like help people tap into a sixth sense. Like if you could walk in a park and you only see colors, and you're not acknowledging that every plant is alive, that in the grass an entire ecosystem is taking place from the ants to the worms to the bees to the birds. Everything around you is something that you have no power over or control over. So it's so humbling. Like sometimes I want to clear my mind and you just go up around life and you see life, and that's how the Creator speaks to you, through events, through people, through life. And, you know, some people, they live a whole lifetime themselves why God never spoke to them. And it's an arrogant statement, because even though the Creator owes us nothing in his magnitude, owning existence itself, his mercy is so infinite that he still extends himself to our lives, like no matter what state you are ever in. Like, he will always extend himself for you. Like, and I'm not going to say some are blessed more than others. I'm going to say the way he proportions it. And that's why
I think it's just different. Yeah.
Right. The way Gregory Hall, because since the Creator made a balance, the earth has the infinite capabilities of producing resources. That's number one. And the man, since he created a matrix over the planet that God did not create. This is the devil's plan. The devil can't create life. He cannot be God. So he has to become godlike. He has to assimilate everything man-made and that you could touch and bend. It's like taking the clay, but you can't make the clay, but you influence it to bend what you want it to be. I can't bend the clay, but I can influence it what I want it to be. So from the cameras around the world to social media to everything, see how God is omnipotent. He's everything at one time, the internet. He got to create everything in every which way. It could be used for good. It could be used for evil. But he's moving through everything. And creating a false world over the world is his ultimate plan of assimilating himself on the throne as God, but not being God, giving us the illusion that this world is the real world that the Creator intended for us, and it's not. And the systems itself, like, long before me and you were here, and even the Reverend was here, and everyone in this call was here, it's like we got to break that cycle, like that domino effect, or the cycle will continually repeat itself over and over for generations to come. And it's like a final stand. It's like, do we die knowing that the burden is lifted, but our kids got to live with the burden, or do we give our lives towards the end of it all? Like, forget it. Like, you know how you just so tired, this bully keeps pushing you against the wall and beating you up one day, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to put my hands back up. Like, I can't keep letting you just come up and keep beating me up every single day. Like, this can't keep happening. Like, I want to fight now. Like, what are we going to do? Like, are we going to meet at common grounds where we get our resources back and we could build back? Because I could do bad all by myself. Let us get the resources back and build back from the bottom. Or, like, I don't know what to do after that. Like, what is it to talk about? You mean to tell me if they deny it at that point, like, if we build something so strong and then we say, listen, we got this resources, we got this 100 million people behind us, we're going this way, and they really try to get nasty like they blew up Wall Street before, then it's like, okay, it's out in the open. Like, why would I continue to live under you guys are vampires? You're literally leeching off the weaknesses and the vices of the people that you created and continue to perpetuate. So that means, like, you created the cause and effects of it all, and I could lift the domino to stop it from continuing the gear, or take the gear out so the whole machine could stop running. But I won't.
Yes, you're right.
It's not broken. It's working for who it was intended to work for. So
and when I talk to people,
like,
I always tell them, like, they always say, how do you do sales and marketing? Like, we are sales and marketing. They are the ultimate leeches. Every time any trend go out, every commercial have it on their shelf.
Right.
Geico. I mean, you can name these. So these are white people, though. They ain't make these trends. We made the trends, and now they getting even richer off of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like some of it is right in our eyes. We just have to pay attention. Now the new slogan is, it's for me, right? Now that's on commercials. I mean, literally every slogan that we come up with, it ends up on commercials. They make money off that.
Right.
And we spending the money with them, not understanding that, how do we get there? How do we get there? I try to tell people, if we don't do it, it's not cool. If black people don't do something, it's not cool. We are the ultimate culture. When we do stuff, it go worldwide. Our
right.
people's stuff don't reach it like us. And it's right. clear to see why a lot of it is because they copy us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you got to ask yourself, why? Why is that? Why is it that everything black people do end up being copied on commercials? And it's even deeper than that, but that can open your mind to see, like, their ultimate weaches.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You have more.
Everything that's hot, it always, what would you say?
No, I was just saying that you got more listeners. I don't know if Jaquan want to take more listeners.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell them about a book real quick. It's a book called, it's by a man named Cesar. And the book was called Blacked Out Through Whitewash. It's a really thick read, and it's probably like it's gonna be like three books on it. But he like went in a really intense.
You muffled up a little bit.
Sorry, I was blocking the speaker. He went into a really intense look at history and showed you like the origin of like every American invention, like throughout time, and you'll see that a lot of it was whitewashed. Like they gave credit to like even famous magicians and piano players. A lot of them were slaves. Like they took a lot from slaves. A lot of us came educated already. The ziggurats in Africa were actually universities. And they try to always paint the picture of us being like barbaric, but they've discovering a lot of new stuff about the pyramids, that they were conducting electricity through them. They had medicine. They had a lot of things that we have in modern time, but it was just conducted and created in a different way at that time. So half of the historical advances, no, I'm not even going to say half. Every historical advance that pushed humanity forward is attributed to us. Every brick that founded this country and that Federal Reserve, down to the way that the Masons designed the Washington Monument and every other structure in America, is belongs to us. From Egypt to Samaria to Ethiopia to the Mayans and on. All they did was study everybody else, their armies, their government structures. And the deists who founded this country grafted it and built the biggest superpower that stands today. And if you don't have a look back into what was, like Bob Marley said, tell me where you came from, I'm going to tell you where you're going. You're not going to see, half of us don't have like prophets or famous historian people in history as their idols no more. You know, music people and rappers and movie stars, all of that is what the youth see. And if the youth don't get inspired to understand, you know, people who really impact the movement of humanity more, then they're not going to have the true drive to really change the world how they can. It's like they get inspired real quick. If you notice, like, all the colleges, when something happens, the youth move. They don't even know why they move half the time. That's the spirit. How God says he's going to pour himself in every soul. They don't know where it's going. But without somebody putting it in perspective of why the souls are becoming restless right now, it's not an awakening yet. It's like the dead wrestling in the grave, but we just ain't come out yet. We wrestling in the grave right now. But like once we come out the grave and wake up, it's time. But yeah, let's give chance for other people to chime in.
Yeah, we got
in.
Some other listeners. We want to bring y'all up. We're with Mr. Dietrich McCoy, Tahaka Brothers Ice Cream, taking kids off the street, putting them to work, getting them partnerships in the ice cream factory, and they're doing a wonderful job. We're going to open up 929-303. Yeah, you got a minute to say something or give a comment to Mr. McCoy. You're on with Mr. Jaquan Diaz as well. 929-303. 929-303. Okay. Okay, we're going to open up 716-260. 716-260, your mic is open.
Who's that?
716.
Oh, that's me. That's me. That's me.
260. Yes.
Okay, how do I talk? How do I talk?
On. Go right ahead.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, how you doing? I'm Q. I got a company called Q's Vision Films where we define legacy. My biggest thing is promoting celebratory funerals, such as like DMX and Nipsey Hussle. We promote funerals like that, and we give that to the the people that are not as privileged as others. We actually provide we follow the legacy. That's our main focus. So we get people from when they're baptized all the way until they go into the cemetery.
Wow.
And we celebrate the life. That's the biggest thing that we do is celebrate in life. We started out in Niagara Falls, New York. We have also had another branch in Atlanta, Georgia. We also have a visionary program reaching into the prisons where we connect the prisons with the street by building accountants, build book writers, we build movie directors. They all come from the prison. Our future plan is to actually have a home in different areas so we can help them relocate and reevaluate and come home based on what they're gifted in doing and not what they actually are supposed to go to school for. So we give them the education. We work with the gifts that they have so that when they come home, they're able to work with the gift that they actually have.
Yes, I want to say, wow, that's very powerful. Can you please say the name, your name, and the name of your films again?
The company is Q's Vision Films. You can look at it
as Q's Films.
Q-U-E-S Vision Films. You can go to Q's Vision, Q-U-E-V-I-S-I-O-N.com. The website is under construction right now, but there you'll see a lot of postings. That's where you'll be updated, and that's where everything is going to go down. And the brother, Shahreed, I'm working with him also, so it's a great thing.
I think I might know that, brother. Oh, but,
I believe that's Shahreed.
Segment. That's Shahreed. I think I know Shahreed. But I wanted to say that I would like to have you on the show. So is it okay for me to get your number from the list and reach out to you?
You definitely can get my number from the list and reach out.
Okay, yes, definitely. I like your story. I definitely like what you're doing because it kind of like, this is what I'll be talking about, how the spirit just calls and puts it together. Because I really commemorate your work. If you're saying that you celebrate in the life of a person, not the misery of the person's death. And that to me is beautiful because to shed light on the person's story is to keep those people alive through us. And that is what I'm trying to do on my show by going into the story of the prophet. And the next part was to make how their spirits transferred over into people who are relevant today, like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, to Nipsey Hussle, to everybody in their own way is etching our present history. So if they etch the past history, who are the monuments today that we should be looking at, that if we look and pay close attention to and they were our leaders, could it, like, how can we drive the future together? That's actually my goal, and I feel like it'll work really good. And like what you guys are doing will be very educational for me, and I would like to start referring more people.
You know what?
About what you do.
We definitely would love to have more, brothers involved, especially when it comes down to finance. Us as Black people, we had the issue with learning about finance. We were never educated with that, so I went to school. I graduated with accounting. So what I do is I promote all my work. I go through elite brothers in prison, and I teach them accounting. I'm not a teacher, but I give them whatever I got, and we share it together so that we're able to build. And those brothers, I'm hoping to prepare them to do people that can't afford, you know, different fees as far as accounting and, you know, when they run a small business, they don't know how to start that. They may not have the money for all these hustlers out here that's hustling them for thousands of dollars for a lot of things that are free. So what I would like to do is have those brothers that's in prison, elite is an elite group, but I want to have those brothers in prison being able to not only work from there, but also have the ability to teach where they're at so that when they're gone, we can always have more brothers in there and we keep going like that.
Yeah, man, I love that mission.
Man. Long story. Thank you. We got to get you in our circle. We got to get in your circle.
It's definitely something, you know, I travel all over the place, so it's not about distance or anything like that. Thank God I'm able to actually connect all over. My network is probably the entire East Coast. And then I'm reaching out to go into like New Orleans, Texas area. I want those prisons. I got some brothers from the federal prison. You ever heard of the game Cash Flow?
Yeah. I would like you to do my story too. I've been through a lot.
You got a story too.
I would definitely like you to do my story. I mean,
how old were you when you first went to prison?
When I first went to prison, I was 16.
You never made it to Spofford?
No, I never made it to Spofford, but I did over 3 years on Rikers Island, and I did about 6 years in the state.
Okay. So you went straight 16 years old, C-74.
Yeah, and then I came out, and then I went back in when I was 18. I stayed there till I was 24, and then I went back when I was about 28, came out, and then I just recently came out from a year, and now I'm home. But every bit of my story of what I went through past the incarceration system, there were a lot of times where, like, I led movements and got part of movements in the city, and what I led while I was in prison that I want you to shed light on my story of how I feel I'm a revolutionist and trying to bring about dramatic change for the future. So I would like to shed light on that.
Absolutely. We're more than welcome. It would be an honor. And I would like to know something else. Is it okay if I ask you questions?
Yeah, no problem.
I would like to know, like, what era were you in, incarcerated? The 90s, the late 80s, the late 90s, what era?
Well, I'm 30 years old, so I was incarcerated.
You was incarcerated in 2000?
Yeah, 2010. 2009, I was incarcerated. From 2009.
So you walked into
2008
to 2000. Sex Money, the Latin King, the Anti Blood era.
That whole era, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was in there when it started. I was like in
right.
The beginnings. And I seen it start from the ground.
I met my father in prison, and my father was in prison from the time of like my first year born. So I went to jail. When I met him, I was 18 years in prison, 18 years old, and he's like one of like some the founding fathers with the Latin King.
Hey, God.
So it was a lot of politics behind that because I went my own route, and my father practiced his own things, and now I'm like just a quick piece of my story. I was sitting at like the way I met my father. I was in DC on the boat. So he came down for a chase on the boat, and I had like a co-defendant with me. So there was a seat that I used to always sit at. So he's supposed to hold my seat. So at this point, I'm just violent, and I just that's the next thing to me. So I went to go find the seat, and somebody was sitting in my seat. So instead of fighting the person for the seat where my co-defendant was trying to push me to, I sit at another seat. I go, like, you know what? Today's not the day. I'm going to just sit somewhere else. I don't care. And when I sit down to the left of me, the person sitting on the left of me is my biological father, and I don't know it. And I'm sitting right next to my father. So, like, I'm eating food, and I eat a certain way. And, like, I wrote my father while he was in prison. So he's sitting next to me. And he just keeps looking at my face, and I keep glancing over, looking at him, looking at me, like, this weird guy keep looking at me like this. What's wrong with this
boy?
I'm thinking in my mind, like, what's up, boy? Like, why he keeps looking at me like this? But it's like looking in the mirror at the same time. Like, me and my father is splitting images. So I'm like, I feel it. My body is telling me this person is somebody. So he tells me, like, oh, can I ask you a question? I go, yeah, you can ask me a question, like, what's going on? Like, he goes, do you live up on a neighborhood named Ellesmere Tremont? Like, are you from over here? I go, yeah, because that's where I'm writing him from. So I'm like, yeah, I am. So he asks me after that, he like, do you have a mother named Lillian? Like, is that your mother's name? Like, I'll go, yeah, that's my mom's name. Like, you got to know me from, like, the hood. Like, would I serve you or something? Like, who are you? Like, so I'm asking him. So he puts his head down. So I'm watching him put his head down. Like, what's wrong with him? He looks back up. He's crying. So now I'm really looking at this guy like he weird. Like, yo, what's wrong with this guy? Like, he just started bawling in tears. So I'm like, you all right? I ask him. He goes, nah, I'm your father. So I get up out of my seat. I'm like, nah. I just walked away from him. I'm like, nah, it's impossible. No way I'm sitting next to my dad. But when I turn back around, like, looking at him, I see me in his face. Like, I'm like, nah, hold on. I got to get on the phone. I get on the phone. I call my mom. I put him on the phone with my mom. My mom, like, is screaming at him. And that's when I knew that was my dad. Like, yeah, that's my dad. My mom said, saying my dad. So I was like, yeah. That's what it was. So I took that moment, like, as I was coming into spirituality, and I sat with my father in prison, and, like, he kept crying every time he looked at me because I was very inspirational. Like, I helped a lot of people in jail. I inspired them, or I would read with them, or be teaching them stuff moving around. So now he's getting to know me. I'm getting to know him. So a lot of, like, my aggression and, like, I would say not thug ways, but a lot of my ways really came from my father. He was like, I'm not going to say immature. He was wise in his own areas, but he was all in for being in jail. And then my mind was trying to educate people. So I was kind of inspiring my father now. So now my father, like,
hey guys,
gotta
get to my baby.
Okay. So let's connect, and I'll definitely want you on the show, and we'll go a little more in depth into everything.
I got
so,
appreciate
you coming
on
tomorrow, Dietrich, right? You coming on tomorrow's show, 7 to 9,
yeah.
same number. Okay, so we'll definitely catch you tomorrow as well.
All right, thank you. We'll connect.
Great, guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Appreciate you. God bless, brother.
Okay, brother. Take care. God bless. Jaquan.
Yeah.
Due to the time factor, I just want to bring Dr. Wimborn in, and
okay.
You know, then you can go on. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Okay.
So we want to bring Dr. James W. Wimborn, the creator, the founder of the Neo Nation, the Act of Kindness, reparations program. We're gonna bring him in right now. Give him something to say. Just give him a nice little hand there.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
How you doing? I'm doing great, brother.
Great.
Thank you for blessing us with your presence.
Oh, listen, the pleasure is all mine. Listen, I forgot. I wasn't even thinking about saying anything. I was just so engrossed in the conversation and listening to your story about how you met your dad. And That is really, really some story. And it got me thinking about my own personal situation and who I never met my father. I never knew my father. I met a gentleman one day that came to see me after I got out of the hospital when I was a young man. I got shot. We all have those hood stories. That was it. So listening to you tell that story was making me reflect back on the fact that I never had a relationship with my dad at all. And then it made me think that how many more stories are out there like that that could be told to inspire people? Because certainly that's an inspirational story of how you got connected in such a depressing circumstance.
Yeah, thank you.
And how light could come out of even in the midst of darkness. And so that
I was writing a book on this story called Love, the Universal Glue, but I had gave the book away to a kid. I was going to solitary confinement. But it all correlates. Like, everybody's story correlates when you say that. Because what I was drawn to is my father had told me, he told me when he was crying, I said, why are you crying? And he said, because I had nothing to do with the man you became. And he looked like a lot of my characteristics came from my father without me knowing my father. And I know that's real because now with my son, there's this movie quick before I give it back. But there's this movie that I used to watch when I was younger called Indian in the Cover. I always watched this movie when I was young. So my mom buys the movie on DVD and has it in the room for when I was coming home from jail. So my son goes to the house. She has the little figurine in the movie in her room. And the only thing my son will grab is that figurine and that DVD. Now, he's never watched the movie with me to date. The movie's not open. He won't let go that movie. He won't let go that figurine, just like when I was his age. And he doesn't know, he's two. He doesn't know I like that at all. And he's like my split. Everything he touches is something from my past. And it's just amazing how genes transfer over.
Right. Yeah, it is amazing. You know, one quick story, and then we'll talk about the reparation program right quick. I remember I had part of my family that some of my children never got an opportunity to meet. And then I remember taking them to a family function. All of a sudden, everything made sense to them about who they are and why they did some of the things that they did now that they got to meet that side of the family and know the group of people. That familiarity of gene pool and DNA association made that connection. And so those are always good and inspiring events in our lives that we need to always cherish. And but this is good stuff, man. What's going on in the background, though, because we getting all kind of noise. So be conscious, everybody that's got their mic. We got a lot of mics over, so always be aware. Don't have the TV on, and please try to stay out of the bathroom. With everything that's going on, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And just to make it real quick, we are blessed and happy and proud to be able to say that God has given us a economic system that we can use to create financial independence for Black people all across the country and around the world. I'm going to say it that way and keep it real simple because that's really just a simple way it is. Those of you that are involved, I encourage you to get engaged, not just sign up, but to get engaged. Find out what we're doing. We're about to have more events. We're making it easier for you to spread the word. We're making it easier for you to make money. with the system. We got new things that have just been added. Everyone's got their own personal links. We adding the black market with all type of products being added to our system. We are trying to create a system where we are like the black Amazon. Anything you could possibly need, we will have it available for our people. Because the ideal of the DIY reparation or the self-reparation is to circulate funds and money. So we're putting those elements in place. We put the market in place where we could buy and trade all our goods. We are building our blacklist of all black-owned companies. We want you to be a part of that. The first 100 sign-ups are free. We are still looking for someone to spare that department that's willing to go out and talk to the businesses and bring them in and get them involved on the blacklist. So if y'all know anyone that's looking to be a team player and want to be a part of something that's big and want to take a leadership role in it, let me know because we have that lined up. So that's there. We have people that's been signing up every day. Every day the system is making deposits into people's wallets for those of that are signing up. So we want to encourage everybody again to go out, be a part. We need to do this. We need to circulate our funds. We need to, for lack of a better term, segregate our funds and keep our money amongst ourselves.
So amen, amen, amen. I love it.
There's some stuff going on that's about to happen that we must be prepared for. You know, every time there's a crisis, they come up with something new. There's about to be a new housing crisis. There's about to be a new housing crisis because of what's happened with COVID. But here's the plan, ladies and gentlemen. I want everybody to listen to me very, very carefully. The plan that they have in now is they having the large corporations go through and buy up whole communities, blocks and blocks of properties.
I've been seeing this coming.
That they own. And now everyone will be reduced to being a renter.
Right. That was the point of destroying the economy down. And then when all the bailout was happening, they kept juicing up all the big corporations. They've been planning this.
Right, right. So we need to use what God has given us to create financial independence for ourselves and to create a refuge for ourselves. And circulate funds amongst ourselves because no one is looking out for us. So
right.
We got to stop looking out for someone to help us. We got to stop crying. We got to stop begging. We got to stop marching. We got to stop doing
right.
All that stuff we've been doing in the past because none of that has yielded any fruit.
I don't need to laugh, but amen to what you're saying. That's the truth.
It's the truth. Somebody got to say it.
Somebody gotta say it.
Until we put our funds together, we put our resources together, they're going to keep killing us in the street. You think it's bad now, they're only warming up.
Warming up.
Right as we speak, what we've known and understood to be the Republican Party has made a conscious decision that they're going to be the party of racists.
Right.
The party of white supremacy. The party of we rather believe a lie and to support our cause than to tell the truth. Labor for the country is not about a country. It's not
right.
About any of that. It's about what we need to get. And damn anybody that get in our way, don't believe Black Lives Matter to them as a terrorist organization.
Right.
So we got to take control. And this system allows us to do that. All right, go by the site, www.myprojectneo.org, www.mymyprojectprojectneo.org, neoneo.org. Go there, sign up. You need to sign up. Your mother needs to be signing up. Your father, your uncle, your sister, your brother, everybody, the mailman, your pastor, your choir members, the whole outro section. Everybody needs to be signing up and participate in this project so that we can create the wealth we need amongst our own people. We can create our own black millionaires. We don't have to go out and get it. We don't need their money. We don't need their handout. We don't need their PPP. All right, none of that. We can do this ourselves. All right, I've taken up enough time. God bless you, everybody. Thank you. And y'all keep up the good work.
Somebody has anything?
Go ahead.
I just
said God bless
you. Oh, no, I was just saying thank you for blessing us with that with that wisdom and that spirit and that fire, because I'm so glad that you put it in that perspective, because I was in prison and I used to get so frustrated at the marches and when I was watching, because you know everybody will come together and watch the news, so you know I'd give my own little speeches like between times of watching the news, or like if we watching a movie, sometimes people won't understand certain those subliminals they throw in movies and stuff. So I'm always someone to try to shed light on stuff. So while I'm watching all these movements happening from jail, I'm just so frustrated. Like, I was like, what would it impact it more? Like marching with 100,000 people to a certain location and then making a speech, or gathering 100,000 to 200,000 people and ask everybody for $10. And everybody was shocked. Like, I didn't think about it like that. Like, yeah, why didn't they just take their own resources, all that manpower, and let's build something, or let's use that opportunity to shed light on the fact that the system was not built for us, and that unless we channel and control the resources for ourselves, I don't want to take away your system. I just want to separate it. Like how you said, separate our wealth. We're not making no statement of putting an end to your system forever. Your system could continue to stand, but you're going to have to leech off yourself. And this is why Marcus Garvey warned them. He told them that any system that was built on capitalism was destined. Or was it Marxist? It's either Marcus Garvey or it was Marxism. One of the two. But he basically broke it down in that, like, when you exploit a people of racism, and
right.
Systems have done it multiple times
capitalism.
In history.
Capitalism.
Yeah, capitalism.
You have to have losers. Capitalism is based on winners and losers.
Losers.
And people understand that. Is I get everything that I can get, every man for himself. So if I win, you lose. You understand?
Right.
That's what – listen to the former president, what he used to talk about, win. Win at any cost. It's just about win. I mean, we don't care how. It's not how. And the other thing that we have, one of the problems that we have as a people is that because of the divinity within our DNA, we are naturally spiritual beings. We understand level of spirituality more than anyone else. And we confuse that that principle here on the third dimension when it comes to this matrix. And we like to think that when evil actions are happening, energy is being manifested here on the third dimension, that somehow or another, that if we take a higher role, that is going to have an effect on them. That it'll show them the errors of their way, but it don't work like that. What we call being higher or taking a higher role, these demons see as weakness.
Right.
Okay.
But what
they
you
see as weakness, and they exploit it. Because we are patient people. Because when they say wait, we wait. We wait hoping that this time they get it right. We wait on the police report.
Right.
We wait on the grand jury. We wait to see the DNA, what the DA is going
to
say.
We wait to see if legislation is going to pass.
Right, only for them to come back and disappoint us over and 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 over. At some point, when y'all, when we're going to say, listen, God damn it, I'm tired of waiting.
Right.
Enough is enough.
Right.
Enough is enough. Like they told the children of Israel on Mount Hubbard, you have been here long enough. You've seen everything. You've witnessed everything. Enough is enough.
There you go.
Moses
and be ye not unequally yoked. You
right.
can't be unequally yoked. And don't give your pearls to swine.
This is what was given to us as a black people in the book that they call the Bible is really a black history book in the Old Testament. Come out from among them. Be ye separated.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's who we are. We are not those perpetrators that are over there in Palestine, calling it Israel, killing Palestinians. Those are not Jews.
Right.
That's all
part
of Israel.
I mean, but we are in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
We're sitting in Sodom and Gomorrah, so we definitely
in Babylon.
We have to accept the fact that we are displaced.
Right.
And once we understand that we are displaced, we can allow the laws of the land to continue, and we can do our own. But these laws of this land, we have to take control.
We have been, if you study our history, the children of Israel, we have always gone through captivity and in bondage.
Right.
We are experiencing the same thing now. It said that this time, history will show that our captivity and our bondage have taken place on the shores of North America.
So let me ask you this then. If it haven't worked all the many years that we continue to fight, so we physically want to fight this group that we call devils, but we want to fight these people for what?
Well, I think I could shed some light on that. Like for me, what the brother said, I wanted to answer that question. Because the brother said something about the third dimension in the matrix that was like it was a little high that I wanted to like kind of like simplify for the people a little bit, not to take nothing away from nobody, but what it said to me in deeper is that this simulation, this matrix, this system that they created, and our souls, our nature is to worship or to give energy to something. So that's just a natural thing as a spiritual being as in our creation. What they have done by creating all these illusions is rechannel where we put that energy, and we fuel the very system that keeps us in bondage. This is that thing we stuck in. If we looked higher than that and put our aspirations like universally into the maintenance of the earth, that is will save us. Because I believe what really happened throughout history is the fact that they keep rewriting it. Like the earth is really old, and a lot of ancient dynasties and everything, they reached a certain pinnacle, but the correlation is what happens when they get there. Every time man has reached the highest pinnacle, they forgot the creator every time, even the children of Israel, every time they reached monuments of power and then forgot him and then started becoming the same oppressor that they put down. That's the way to end it forever. That's like if we got the totem pole tomorrow and then we like go enslave every white man on the earth. Forget it. It's our turn. See, somebody has to get it and be so noble and be like, I'm not going to do tit for tat. I know I could push this button right now and pay you back for what you did. I forgive you. That's the only way I feel looking throughout history to break the cycle forever. And this is the coming of either the Christ-like spirit through us or the indefinite return of Christ and his kingship over the government, over the entire earth. Is the only one who can neutralize the position as a king and as a government ruler over the earth. that's the only way, like looking through scripture and history, that I've seen with the finale of bringing the accumulation of earth. It's like we just paving the way. Like opposition is like John the Baptist. We just doing as much as we can, paving the way for the finale. That's the only thing that I see as it. And hopefully, you know, God rewards us for our efforts and our work. And as his promise, he never lies. There's a beginning and there's an end.
And on that note, which is a heavy note for everybody to take, Brother Jaquan is very deep. But ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of the show. Tomorrow night, 7 to 9, once again, the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. Come on that show. We'll have Jaquan Diaz. We'll have Brother Shalik. We'll have Brother Dietrich. And hopefully everybody else, and Dr. Winborn, and hopefully everybody else will come back on. And brother Professor Gregory Hall from Let's Get It Together and Reap More Now. And hopefully everybody else will come back on, and we can continue this conversation. It's extremely important that we get it together so we can reap more now. That's what God wants for us. God bless everyone. See you tomorrow.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world. Listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Fire.
gotta get better.